Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, I will be talking about a stock that I came across while going through the Japan Company Handbook, and that stock is called Astellas Pharma. Astellas Pharma is Japan's second largest pharmaceutical company, and today we'll look at the company's business, we'll review the company's key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Astellas Pharma.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at a brief description of Astellas Pharma. I'm on ticker terminal looking at Astellas Pharma. It states that Astellas Pharma engages in manufacture, market, import, and export of pharmaceuticals worldwide. And then it talks about all the drugs that it provides. However, we'll be talking about the drugs that produce the most amount of revenue for the company. And I will be getting this information from the Japan Company Handbook, which states that Xtendi drug brought in about 25% of the company's 2020 consolidated sales. And Xtendi, as we can see here, is used as an inhibitor for prostate cancer. So essentially, it's there to stop and reduce the growth and treat prostate cancer. The second drug is Prograf, which brought in about 15% of the company's consolidated sales. And Prograf, as you can see here, is an immunosuppressant, which is used to suppress organ rejection following a transplant. The third is the Betanis drug, which brought in about 11% of the company's consolidated sales. And Betanis, as we can see here, is used for the treatment of urgency, urinary frequency, and urge urinary incontinence. The fourth drug is Vesicare, which brought in about 7% of the company's consolidated sales. And Vesicare, as you can see here, is a drug for the overactive bladder treatment. And finally, all the other drugs brought in about 41% of the company's consolidated sales. And all those other drugs include treatments for urothelial cancer, anemia, prostate cancer, antifungal drugs, and so forth. Over here, we can see that the company is also in clinical trial collaboration with Merck and Cytom Therapeutics. Astellas Pharma also has a strategic alliance with Harvard University for the research and development of therapeutics and technologies of mutual interest. Now that we have a brief understanding of Astellas Pharma and its top money-making drugs, let's quickly go over the company's key ratios. Over here, I'm looking at Morningstar, Astellas Pharma. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2012, the company's revenue was about 969 billion yen. And for the year 2021, it was about 1.25 trillion yen. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is what we get when we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about $131.5 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $135.5 billion. Similar to the company's revenue, the company's operating income has also been trending upwards. Next, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2012, the company's net income was about $78 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $120.6 billion. Similar to the company's revenue and operating income, the company's net income has also been trending upwards. We do see a drop in the company's net income for the year 2018. This may have been due to a one-time expense, which caused the company's net income to decline in that calendar year. As we can see in the following calendar year in 2019, the company's net income was in fact higher than that seen in the year 2017. We can see that the company's net income number for the fiscal year 21 was a lot lower. This was primarily because the company made lower sales in the year 2021, which caused the company's net income to be a smaller number as well. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2012, the company paid out about 23.94 yen per share as dividend. And for the year 2021, it paid out about 42.42 yen per share as dividend. We can see that except for that one unique year in 2014, the company has consistently been paying out dividends every year. After that, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2012, the company had 9,237 million shares outstanding, and for the trailing 12 months, it had 1,857 million shares outstanding. When we look at the past 10-year trend, we can see that the company has been buying back its shares every year for the past 10 years. This is good news for existing shareholders, as this process of buybacks actually helps increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next is the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2012, the company's book value was about $5.16 per share, and for the trailing 12 months, it's about $6.77 per share. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract the capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was about $108.5 billion, and for the year 2021, it was about $229.4 billion. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow to be positive, staying steady or increasing. we can see that Estella Pharma's free cash flows have always been positive, which tells us that the company's operating cash flow exceeded the company's capital spending. I will be using the 2021 figure of 229,402 million yen for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was about 8.07%, and for the year 2021, it was about 9.65%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in the year 2021, by the time it paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $9.65 left as pure profit. Ideally, we want to see the company's net margin number to be a high number, as we want the company to have enough profit left over after it has paid for all the expenses. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that had a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was about 7.67%, and for the year 2021, it was about 9.02%. Ever since 2015, Estella Pharma's return on equity has always been greater than 8%. Next, looking at the return on invested capital. The return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2012, the company's return on invested capital was about 7.61%, and for the year 2021, it was about 8.44%. Estella Pharma's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 4.28%. And since the company's return on invested capital is greater than the weighted average cost of capital, we can safely say that the management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2013, the company could pay off its interest obligations 461 times. And for the year 2021, it could pay off the interest obligations 63.24 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Next, looking at the financial health and liquidity ratios, the first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. A current ratio greater than 1 tells us that the company has enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's current ratio was at 2.49, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.49. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to meet its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's quick ratio was at 1.79, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.15. Both the quick and current ratio indicate that the company is very liquid, and it has enough oxygen in its system to survive for another 12 months. Finally, looking at the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's financial leverage was at 1.38. And for the latest quarter, it's at 1.63. Over the past 10 years, we can see that the company's financial leverage has stayed fairly consistent. And just for comparison, Pfizer's financial leverage is at about 2.4 and Merck is at 2.7. So in comparison to Pfizer and Merck, Astellas Pharma's is less financially leveraged. Now let's compare the company's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price to earnings ratio. Astellas Pharma has a PE of 34.8, whereas S&P 500 is at 25.3. Astellas Pharma's price to book is at 2.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.5. The company's price to sales is at 2.8, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. The company's price to cash flow is at 10.8, whereas S&P 500 is at 18.1. Finally, the dividend yield. The company has a dividend yield of 2.3%, whereas S&P 500 is at 1.4%. We can see that on all the valuation metrics other than the price to earnings ratio, Astellas Pharma is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. And when we looked at the company's key ratios, we saw how the company's sales declined in the year 2021, which led to a decline in the company's net income, leading to a lower earnings number. So when we look at the price to earnings ratio with a smaller earnings number, we're bound to get inflated price to earnings ratios for the company. Now let's look at the company's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar. which was actually 229,402 million yen. I divided this number by 110 as the current conversion rate of one US dollar is equal to 110 Japanese yen. So the US dollar equivalence of the 2021 free cash flow was $2,085 million. I'm assuming an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 6%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 6% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment in Astellas Pharma to give me a 10% return. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 3%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 3%. The company has 1,857 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt and non-current liabilities of $2,147 million. I got this number from the company's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the intrinsic value to be about $19.05 per share. When we compare this to the company's current stock price, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 10% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $17.1 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all these up to get the intrinsic value to be about $37.5 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $19.05. Now, if we add the book value to this number, we get the intrinsic value to be about $25.82 per share. If we disregard the perpetuity component from the intrinsic value, in other words, if you think that Astellas Pharma is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $8 per share. And finally, if we disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that the company is going to grow into perpetuity, so there's no point for the company to worry about its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $20 per share. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Astellas Pharma is the number two pharmaceutical company in Japan. Hopefully you found this video interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.